thank the Lord this morning for another opportunity to come and worship the Lord. Desire your prayers again this morning that the Lord would minister to us each one individually. I'm thankful we can come and be blessed collectively, but it's going to start on an individual basis. And that's the same with serving the Lord. We can talk about the glory of Zion, and we can talk about the church, but it starts right here. And it starts at home. It starts on the job. It starts in the troubles and the problems and trials of life. That's really where God gets the glory, when we have that place of individual, personal victory. If you'll turn with me to the first chapter of John. John, the first chapter, we'll begin reading in the 43rd verse. It said, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith unto him, behold an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Amen. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. I want us to first of all consider that Jesus, when he saw Philip, he said two words. He said, follow me. And Jesus had given Philip a call to follow him, and Philip followed the Christ. But we want to also take notice tonight, this morning, that Philip did something else after Jesus had given him a call. He went and he found someone else. He went to Nathanael and said, we have found him. We found the Messiah. We found the one that has been prophesied about. We found Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael began to question Philip. But I want us, I believe we all understand this morning, the very first commission that Christ gave to us was to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, this was even before Christ had given that commission. And as soon as Philip had found the Christ, he had a desire to go and share it with someone else. Because he had found the Christ, and Philip was convinced of it. Philip was sure, this is the one that we have been waiting on. The Messiah is here. This is Christ, the Son of God. But we want to take notice then, and I want to just, well, let's write on the board to begin with. The first half of the title. Philip went and told, I found the Messiah. Do you know that the Lord has a message for us this morning that he wants us to give to the world?
Yes, amen.
It was not enough for Philip to find the one that had been prophesied about. Jesus said, Philip, follow me. And Philip could have said, okay, now I'm going to go and I'm going to follow the Lord and I'm going to keep it to myself. But he didn't do that. He went with a message and he went and told someone else. Well, this morning, it is the will of God for you individually, and I'm not talking to us now as a congregation. Talking to you individually. You need to go and tell what you have found. You need to go and tell, I have found the Messiah. Wasn't it wonderful when we heard the gospel message?
Yes.
When the Lord talked to our heart and we gave our heart to the Lord, we found it. I found the Lord. I found the joy of life. I found victory. Folks, we don't need to keep that to ourselves. The Lord wants us to be more diligent about going and telling what we have found. But we notice here when Philip, he went and said, Philip findeth Nathanael and said, we have found him. Well, Nathanael had some questions, didn't he? He didn't just accept what Philip was saying. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you believe everything you hear?
No.
I don't either. I don't believe everything everybody tells me. I don't believe everything I read, because there's a lot of false stuff out there. There's a lot of false prophets. There are a lot of people that are promoting their own agenda. Well, folks, we cannot expect then the world to believe everything we say just because we say it. You see, Philip, when he was going and telling, I found the Messiah. Nathaniel was kind of, hold on a minute. Hold on, I have some questions. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? What was Philip's response? Come and see. Folks, when you go out in the world, what are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell? Go and tell them there's a lot of people running without a message this morning. There's a lot of people running saying, I'll go do the work of God, and they don't have anything to say. Well, we need to go and tell, and the message that we need to give is, come and see. Don't take my word for it, in other words. You don't have to take my word. Folks, if I was going out here, if I was out on the sidewalk and someone came along and said, I found the Christ, He's returned. He's here and I found the joy of living and I found all this. You know, I'd be a little skeptical.
Right.
What are you talking about? Well, folks, do not think this morning the world is any different than what you are. In other words, just because we say something, do not expect your children. Do not expect your family members. Do not expect a sinner to believe it just because you say it. You see, it starts with that go and tell. But see, when Nathaniel began to question Philip, Philip was not defensive. Well, you better believe this. The Bible says it. Folks, is it good enough just because the Bible says it? Philip said, come and see for yourself.
Right.
Come and see. In other words, come and prove it and see if it works for yourself. Don't take my word for it now. I gave you the message. And he had a message to give. But he did not expect everyone to believe it. And I think that sometimes as the children of God, we may get a little disturbed sometimes because people aren't believing what we're saying. But folks, we need to not just go and tell. We need to be living in such a way that we can say this. Come and see for yourself. It's not enough. I say we're the church of God. Convince me. A little skeptical. The church of God, what do you mean? There are churches on every corner almost. Drove around here yesterday. A church here and a church there. Now you say that you have the truth. Why should the world believe that? Folks, I don't blame them for not believing it. Because there are so many people saying we have it. There are so many people that are going and telling it. But we need to be able to do as Philip did. All right, Nathaniel, I gave you the message. I told you I found the Messiah. Now you just come and see for yourself.
All right.
Come and prove it. You come and examine the evidence. Folks, when we need to be able to tell people of the world, come and examine the evidence for yourself. You don't have to accept that I am part of the church of God just because I say it, because there's a lot of other people saying it too. You come and you measure my life. You come and measure the congregation. And you come and prove it for yourself. You see, a lot of people stop here, go into all the world. And we want to witness for the Lord, but folks, how are we going to convince a skeptical world? The world is very skeptical of religion today.
Yes.
The world is very skeptical of bodies of people saying, we have the truth.
Yes.
Because everybody says that. Why should they think any different about us than the next man? Well, Philip did not enter into an argument. Philip did not say, well, now you listen to me. I did this and that and the other, and this is what God has done for me. No, Philip was faithful to go and tell. He said, I found the Messiah. Nathaniel questioned him, and he just simply said, come and see. You know the Lord wants us to be able to do that this morning. The Lord wants you in your life to be able to tell people that you witnessed to, and they're skeptical, just, here I am, just examine the evidence. Come and see. What do you find? In 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the 20th verse, the Scripture says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You see, Philip went with the message, I found it. I found the Messiah, and he was able to come and see for yourself. Folks, when Nathanael went, he was convinced. He saw Christ, and he listened to Christ, and he beheld Christ, and he was convinced in his own mind, in his own heart, Philip, you told me the truth. You weren't just telling a fib. It wasn't just your opinion. Yes, Philip, I heard your message. Thank you for coming and telling me, but I saw it for myself. I went and I saw Christ, and I'm convinced. But this morning, Christ is not here in the flesh. Now, if Christ were sitting in the flesh, I'm not talking about a false prophet, but if Christ himself were sitting in our midst, would you have a message to go tell your neighbors? Go and tell them, come and see. Come and see, Christ is here. And you don't have to take my word. Come and see for yourself. See, he's healing the lame. He's healing all of the sick. People are being saved. The anointing of God is there. Christ is here in the flesh. But folks, Christ is not here in the flesh anymore. You see, Philip was able to say, come and see for yourself. But now, Christ is gone. But now we have a responsibility as ambassadors for Christ, or as representatives of Christ himself. That does not make us Christ, but it means that we individually should be living in such a way that when we witness to the truth, when we witness of the church of God, when we witness what it means to be a Christian, that we will be able to simply say, try me. Come and see for yourself. Examine my life. Folks, people should be able, when they meet you and they get to know you, too many times people lose confidence as they get to know you better. Isn't that the fact? That many times you get to know someone, it's like you, oh, I didn't know they lived that way. You know, when you meet Christ, that confidence gains more and more. You have more and more confidence. That's what it should be in the children of God, because we are ambassadors. We are representing Christ, and that means that we have a very high calling. Yes. That because Christ is gone now, you are there in his stead. Amen. When people, and yes, we're still pointing people to Christ, but people want to see if it works. Uh-huh. Well, then we need to be able to go and tell we have found the Christ. And they say, where? Well, come and see. Watch how I live my life. You come home with me, not just for a week. You know, a lot of people can act good for a week if they have company. You come and live with me. I mean, really live with me for weeks and for months, and you'll see who I really am. Come and see for yourself. Folks, it's the only way that we are going to be able to convince a skeptical world. And I do not blame the world for being skeptical. Why should they believe us above anybody else? The reason is, when they come and see, may the world be convinced you have something. Amen. You have something that is above the human ability. Yeah. I see Christ in your life. Mm-hmm. I see the anointing of the Spirit of God in your midst. Mm-hmm. I listen how you talk. I see how you treat your wife. I see how you treat your husband. I see how you deal with your children. I came. What about, well, this starts individually, doesn't it? But do you know that it also applies collectively as a body? Church, we sign Church of God. Well, go and tell. Come and see. What are people going to find when they come and see? Will they be convinced like Nathaniel was? I found the Christ. Philip, you told me the truth. Folks, this, we should be challenged. We are to be representing Christ as ambassadors, that we would be able not to lift ourselves up. Amen. Not to get glory to ourselves, but realizing that we are representatives of Christ, that we people can come and see how we live. They should be able to come in and sit down in the congregation Wednesday after Wednesday, Sunday after Sunday, business meeting after business meeting.
All right.
And say, these people are different. This isn't just another church. This is not just another people who are saying they're it. I see Christ I see the fruit of the Spirit. I see love. I see humility. I don't see people getting their feelings hurt all the time. I see people that are getting along. I see unity. When I sit in the midst of the congregation, I feel the presence of God.
Amen.
Come and see. How are you doing? We want to take a message, don't we? We want to take a message of Christ. But folks, there are a lot of false prophets. And again, if people do not listen to you, don't be discouraged. There are so many false movements and religions and churches and philosophies in the world today. I don't believe everything I hear. I want to try it for myself. I want to prove it. I want to examine it, which means now because we're living for God, I trust you are, that means we have a responsibility to be able to open ourselves up, examine my life. This is what God did for me in my life. This is what the Lord is doing. But you just come and see for yourself. Can we say that individually this morning? Just come home with me. Come and see for yourself. I told you I found the Christ. I told you I knew the Lord. Now you just come. You know, some people might not like that. What about in the congregation, folks? Are we living in such a way that people can come and sit down among us and observe and know these are the people of God? It's not enough because we say it, folks. It comes down to how we're living our life. Come and see. We may have the doctrine right. We may have understanding of the truth. But folks, if we do not have the experience, people are going to come and see and they're not going to be convinced. Because I believe again in a congregation like this that probably all of us could stand up and give a good little discourse or sermon on what it means to forgive. What it means to love, because we have the head knowledge. Because we know what the Bible says about it. But where people are going to be convinced is not what I say, but it's how I live my life.
Right.
There are a lot of people that are hurt and suffering because they were looking for God's people. They were looking for the truth. They were looking for the Messiah. And they found someone that said, I found it. And so they go and they sit down and watch and they say, you don't have it. You don't have it. You know, we need to live carefully before God. The Scripture says in the last days, perilous times shall come. And down a few verses, it said having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Folks, we can have the head knowledge. It's not good enough. We are not God's people because we say we understand the Word. Yes, that's part of it. But it is in the experience of the Word.
Right.
So people come then, and it's not then just what this minister thinks, or what these preachers say, or what the congregation, what their history is. It's people should be able to look in the Word of God. This is what God says, and then look on your life.
Right.
You have it. I believe it because you came and told me you had it, and now I went and I proved it, I examined it, and you have convinced me with your life. And that's why the saying, actions speak louder than words. Folks, it does. Individually and as a congregation, your actions speak a whole lot louder than what your words do. Can we still say, come and see? Many times people say, come and see, but I want you to understand this. And they begin to justify things. Begin to excuse. Now, you have to understand, you can come, but I want you to understand this and that. And you can come home with me and examine my life, but understand the way that I was raised. And when I was young, the problems that I had, and my pastor, you're going to have to understand this. Folks, Philip just said, come and see. I gave you the message. I told you I found the Messiah. Offer no excuses. Folks, if you have to offer excuse, if you have to kind of justify things and pat it for someone to examine your life or for someone to come to church with you, something's wrong. Something is wrong, and that means then that, again, you can't change anybody else. I can't change anybody else, but by the grace of God, we can change ourselves. Lord, I want to be living in a way that I can say, come and see. Remember when a couple of the disciples, Peter and John, walked by the lame man at the gate, and he lifted out his hand expecting to receive alms of them, and they looked, they said, look on us. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as we have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Folks, silver and gold have we none. What do we as individuals or as a body have to offer the world? What the world is offering is entertainment.
Yes.
Social entertainment. Do you know that is what, unfortunately, a large number of churches are doing today?
Right.
We have the social things and we have entertainment. That's what we have to offer. Folks, what you draw people with is what you draw them to. I want to be able to go and give a clear message. I found the Messiah. I found the truth. I found salvation. Come and see. And it goes way beyond that. They should find the truth.
Yes.
Working in among us, silver and gold have I none. Folks, this is the reason why, again, we need to be careful what we are offering and what message we're giving to the world. Because what are we bringing people to? Are we bringing them to just another church among churches? Are we coming together just to have some more social interaction? And nothing's wrong with friendship and having some times to be together. Those things are well and good. But when it comes to the church and what our message is and what we're bringing people to, it needs to be to the gospel of Christ. It needs to be to the truth, the uncompromised, undiluted truth. That when people come and they hear it, even if it's a too close of a walk, they will say, I don't want it, and they may go away, but may they still have to say, I saw and I believe they're right.
Yes.
I just don't want to live that way right now. What are we offering to the world? Remember when Jesus was walking along, I believe, along by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw his disciples, he said, have ye any meat? Have you any meat? Well, you know, I believe sometimes the Lord is asking us that. Do you have any meat? What do you have to offer? What do you have to offer? You know that we should not be, if we are living as God wants us to, we have nothing to be ashamed of. The outward standards, and I'm speaking of the Word of God standards of modesty and decency and cleanliness and holy living. Folks, we have nothing to be ashamed about if it's the truth. If it's the Word, we don't have to justify. We don't have to excuse. We don't need to be ashamed to invite people to our services because maybe we don't do some things that a lot of other churches are doing. There's a reason behind it. Just come and see. But folks, if we do not have the Spirit of God in our midst, we are a very boring place to be. And I'm not talking about just emotionalism. I'm talking about the anointing of the Spirit, whether sometimes it's a little louder or sometimes it's just a quiet, soft moving of the Spirit. You see what the world has done, because the Spirit is not moving among them like they would like, they have filled in the gap with entertainment. They have filled in the gap with men's programs and men's thinking and education, and they have done that to fill in the gap. Folks, let's not fill in the gap. Let's be the people that God wants us to be. And if we see that we're lacking in something, let's not try to fill it up with something that comes from within ourselves, but let us seek God for greater anointing and leadership in our individual lives and as a congregation, that we would be able to say, come and see, and not be ashamed of it, that God would get all the glory in it. Come and see. Examine my attitudes. My conversation. Scripture teaches us in 2 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter, in the 2nd verse, He said, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Folks, you are an epistle of Christ, read of all men. Go and give the message. But when people read your life, what are they going to find? Will they go away having confidence in you? Folks, if people come and we say, we are the church, we have the truth, and people come in to come and see for themselves, and they find bickering and gossiping and in division, they find quarreling, they find people that are professing they have sin in their life, folks, the world can do that good. You don't have to come here to find that, dear ones. What makes God's church what it is people should be able to come and see and know God is here. God is in this place. It's not man that I see, but I see holiness. I see purity. I see the fruit, the love and joy and peace and gentleness and long-suffering. That's what I'm reading in these people's lives. And yes, there's going to be a mixed multitude in our midst. Yes, there are going to be those that come that aren't measured up. And that's good, because this should be a spiritual hospital.
Right.
This should be a place that people that are not living like they ought to, I want them to come, and may the Lord open up their eyes that they may see what God has for them. But when they look on the body of Christ, when they look on the leadership of the congregation, may they see this power of the Spirit of God moving and be convinced God is in this place. This is the difference, dear ones. This is the difference. But there are a lot of children today. I know many times that individuals and that we children all have a free will. And when they leave home, they may not serve the Lord. That's their choice. And you may have done a perfect job raising them, and none of us are. But if you did a perfect job, if there's such a thing, in raising children, they still can choose not to serve the Lord. We can't raise saints, folks. We can teach them and show them the way by the example of our life, but we can't raise saints. They still have a choice to make whether they're going to serve God or not. But I see also sometimes that people, they get older, their children leave home, and they come to service, pray for my children who are unsaved. And I hope I don't have that request. I may someday. I don't know. But I know this, that I look on some people, and I know the reason, one of the reasons their children are bitter. I know why they think this. These people say they're the church. That doesn't mean anything. Because they saw mom and dad come to church saying, "I'm saved, I shout, I raise my hand, I have a high testimony, I am in the church of God." And then I knew how my parents act at home. They quarreled, they did not have the grace of God. Why should that convince our children, folks? It starts at home. And if you do not live a life of godliness at home, you are doing damage to your children. They're going to go away and they're not going to be convinced. It's not enough to tell your children to live for God. They're watching your life. They're examining you. I want to see if this really works. A lot of children that are suffering. A lot of people are suffering because people had a testimony and they weren't living up to what the Word of God taught. What message are we going to tell, folks? Lord, help us to be able to say, "Come and see." You know, a congregation, I got a thought, I was meditating one day, and there's a little bird feeder outside of our trailer where we live, and I noticed there weren't any birds there. And different times I'd seen a lot of different kinds of birds at this feeder at the same time. There were different kinds of birds there, all eating at the same time in the tree there. And I had taken a walk, and I came up, and I didn't see any birds around. I thought, what's wrong? Where are the birds? And I went up to the bird feeder and looked in, and there was no feed. There's no feed. Why would a bird stay around? I told Renee about it. She said, you know, the birds could just as well go sit on the electric line. He's in the tree by the bird feeder that has no food in it. We say we're the body of Christ. But folks, if there's no food, if we are not offering the full gospel, why would people come? Why would people be drawn to that? You see, when the gospel is given out in its purity and in its wholeness, it will draw people from all walks of life. And I know that many people hear the gospel and they don't want it. It's a narrow way, and I also know that. But I also believe that if we don't have any food to offer, and we don't have all the other side things to fill in the gap that bring people in, we're going to be small in number. And so, the birds are sitting on the electric lines. There's no food in this feeder, so I'll go somewhere else. And I may not be getting a wholesome diet, but at least there's some things that's not as boring. There are some things that are getting my attention that I enjoy doing, so I'll go socialize with this church over here. Rather, the Lord is wanting us as His people to have something to offer. Something that will feed and minister to the soul, and it will draw people. I have a question to ask you. Is this just a church among churches? Is it just another church? Another corner that needed a church building? Folks, what is the difference? The difference should be, and it starts with you in your individual life. It starts with me in my individual life, that I found the Messiah, folks. I believe that with all of my heart this morning. I found the Christ. I know what the Lord did for me. I know what He is doing for me today. And I want to be living in such a way that I can tell people when I go out and I have that desire to give them a message, that they would be able to look on my life and know that it's truth.
Amen.
Because they see it working. And then as a body, folks, I have a desire, and my burden is not just here, but I have a general burden for the church that we be living in such a way that we don't have to be ashamed to have people come among us. We don't have to fill in the gap with other stuff, but that we would be allowing the Spirit of God to move among us, that we can say, come and not only examine and try my life, but come and sit in the congregation. It's one thing to turn to Isaiah, and I believe I love the church of God, but it's one thing to turn to Isaiah and read about the glory of Zion. Isn't it? We can all get inspired about that. Church of God, the glory and the beauty and the anointing. And I love that, but folks, when it comes down to it, and I go out and witness and say, see, Isaiah says the church is that. Well, so what? All right then, come and see. Come and see. You'll see it lived out in this congregation. You'll see the beauty for ashes. You'll see the joy of God. You'll see the stability of the Spirit of God. You see, it's more than what we read in Isaiah. It comes down, the Lord wants it to be here. We can come and see the glory of Zion for yourself. I don't have to tell you it's some mystical, theoretical something out here. But this is what we need to be aiming for, folks, in the fear of God, that people would be able to look on this congregation here in Bakersfield. This is Zion. This is the body of Christ. It starts with me. I want to conclude in 1 Kings in the 10th chapter. 1 Kings chapter 10, we'll begin reading in the 10th verse. Said, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She heard about it. Someone went and told her. They went and gave a message. King Solomon, he's wise, he's wealthy, and she wasn't quite sure if this was so. Kind of like Nathaniel. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, come and see. And so Queen of Sheba, she went to prove Solomon with hard questions. And in the third verse it says, and Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. In other words, I don't have any more questions. This is it. I heard the message. Someone went and told me. I came and saw for myself, and my spirit of skepticism is gone now because I have seen it for myself. And it said, she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard. Someone came and told me. I came to prove it, and it was true. He said, howbeit, I believe not the words. You see, the world is not just going to believe our words, folks. The words aren't going to do it until I came and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. You didn't tell me it was this good. You didn't tell me there was that much anointing. You didn't tell me that God's people were that merciful and long-suffering and patient and kind. You didn't even begin. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. We are not here to draw people to ourselves. We are not here to fill up or to have large numbers for the sake of having large numbers. And many times, because it is a narrow way, the numbers will be small. But folks, when it comes to our lives, may it be as the Queen of Sheba who questioned it, and she came and proved it herself, that she would say, because of your life, the half has not yet been told. Happy are thy servants. You see, we want to point people to the glory of Christ. But may they see us as His servants. They're happy. They're joyful. May the Lord bless us. I want to be able, yes, to go and tell, but I want to be able to say, come and see. Amen.